Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
This provision alone should cause every legislator in both parties, Republican or Democrat alike, to vote for this bill.
Governor Bevin has announced his plan to solve Kentucky's pension crisis.
Kentucky House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins is pleased Brady Industries has decided to remain in northeastern Kentucky.
Two of Lexington's Confederate statues are being moved from the city's main street.
A Lawrence County, Ohio grand jury has indicted a quadruple murder suspect.
Rowan County Attorney Cecil Watkins is being honored.
In sports, Moorhead State men's basketball will play a special exhibition game against UK at Rupp Arena later this month.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 44. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
In advance of his expected call of a special session of a legislature to deal with the problem, Governor Matt Bevin was joined by Republican leaders of the House and Senate earlier today to reveal their plan for fixing Kentucky's financially ailing public retirement systems. Bevin says the blueprint was formed with the input of several groups that will be impacted by the changes that will be made to make the pensions solvent again.
We have had extensive conversation because we wanted their voices to be heard. We needed their voices to be heard. These groups represent hundreds of thousands of our fellow Kentuckians, and they affect ultimately, directly and indirectly, a whole lot more lives than that.
Among the highlights of the GOP's pension fixes, there will be no change to the retirement age. Those now working will stay in their current retirement plans. The provisions for their health care will remain in place, and retirees will not see any rollbacks in their recent cost of living increases. However, future non-hazardous duty workers and teachers will be required to sign up for a 401k-style plan or defined benefits plan.
14 Kenton County mayors are hoping the state government will separate the county employee retirement system from the Kentucky retirement system to ease tension caused by the pension crisis. Taylor Mill Mayor Dan Bell says he likes that the state government plans on addressing the problem, but says people need to recognize what is at stake if the CERS is not dealt with effectively. He spoke with Spectrum News.
It became obvious that most of the cities in Kentucky might be subjected to, obviously, increases in their pension contributions. Well, this became somewhat alarming, so we were trying to work with KLC, and I'm on the KLC board, so it's work with KLC to try to come up with a resolution that's palatable to the cities as well as the state.
Bell also believes that unless the CERS has more representation on any board established going forward, they will not have the input they need. CERS currently pays $22 million into the KRS expenses, or about 63%, which is much higher than any independently run board in the state.
State Representative Rocky Adkins is happy Brady Industries will still be constructing its new $1.3 billion high-tech aluminum plant in northeastern Kentucky. With the planned site in South Shore now deemed unsuitable, company officials announced yesterday that the factory will be built instead at a location inside the East Park Industrial Site near the Greenup-Boyd County line. According to Adkins, that announcement demonstrates Brady's commitment to the area and is a credit to those state and local leaders who helped make East Park happen a few decades ago.
This announcement, I think, goes to the hard work that's been done over the last 30 years to be able to have the type of foundation in place so Brady Industries can make this decision after they found out that the site was not suitable to be able to move to East Park and build this $1.38 billion facility.
At East Park, Brady will have access to a rail spur and a river port in Wortland. The company's new plant is expected to open in 2020. It will employ 550 people who will have an average annual salary of $70,000.
Lexington has begun moving two of its Confederate statues. The Herald-Leader reports that the surprising move yesterday evening came after Attorney General Andy Beshear issued a legal opinion that the Kentucky Military Heritage Commission does not have the jurisdiction to block the statue's removal. Vice Mayor Steve Kay spoke with WKYT.
We hope that now that we have control of the statues ourselves, that we'll be able to work that out, and as soon as that all happens, they'll be moved to the cemetery. I'm presuming that we can work it out.
The Lexington-Fayette Urban County Council voted in August to move the statues honoring Confederate General John Hunt Morgan and John C. Breckinridge, a U.S. Vice President and Confederate Secretary of War, from outside a former courthouse. The statues are being moved into storage while the city works on an agreement to move them to a Lexington cemetery where Breckinridge and Morgan are buried.
The man accused of carrying out the escape of fugitive and former Prestonsburg attorney Eric C. Kahn is pleading not guilty. WKYT reports Curtis Wyatt entered the plea in federal court in Lexington this morning. The Pike County man was an employee of Eric C. Kahn, who escaped from home incarceration while awaiting sentencing in a $550 million fraud scheme. Wyatt is on home incarceration awaiting trial on December 18th.
Aaron Lawson, the man accused in a Lawrence County, Ohio quadruple murder case, has been indicted by a grand jury on several additional charges. WSAZ reports 23-year-old Lawson is charged in the deaths of four victims, Donald and Tammy McGuire, Stacy Jackson, and 8-year-old Devin Holston. Today, Lawrence County Prosecutor Brigham Anderson announced Lawson's indictment on several charges, including four counts of aggravated murder, attempted murder, felonious assault, rape, and abuse of a corpse. Brigham says he is seeking the death penalty in this case.
A Southern Kentucky man spent the night in jail after he was almost crushed to death while sleeping in a dumpster. According to WYMT, 24-year-old burglary suspect Dalton Brown woke up in the back of a garbage truck early yesterday morning in Laurel County. Steve Edge of London Public Works says Brown traveled in the back of the truck for several miles before making his escape.
Made his next stop, and he dumped that dumpster, and he, as he was getting ready to back up, he always looks in the mirror and saw someone jump off the top of the truck and take off and run towards McDonald's.
Edge adds that Brown is lucky to be alive after the incident, seeing as the driver could have started the trash compactor with him still inside. Brown was wanted on multiple outstanding warrants out of Jackson County. He's housed in the Laurel County Jail.
A man is dead after a hit and run in Wolf County. WYMT reports an unidentified victim was hit by a car while on a bicycle on Highway 15 in Campton. Officials say they were withholding the victim's name until the family is notified. Police do not have a description of the vehicle, but say evidence collected at the scene may help identify the suspect.
A Kentucky man is in custody after attempting to enter the White House. Will Clark with the Kentucky News Network reports.
Washington, D.C. police say Curtis Combs of Somerset climbed over a concrete barrier south of the White House Tuesday morning. The 36-year-old was dressed as Pokemon character Pikachu, dropping a backpack along the way. An investigation determined the backpack held nothing hazardous. Combs is charged with unlawful entry, the Secret Service not saying if Combs provided any reason for climbing over the barrier. I'm Will Clark.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
The Rowan County Attorney's Office is being honored, WMKY's Kinsey Thompson reports.
According to the Moorhead News, Rowan Attorney Cecil Watkins and his Office of Child Support have been named one of the top performing offices in Kentucky for their efforts in that area. The state's top 20 child support collection offices were recently announced by the Cabinet for Health and Family Services based on the number of cases worked and payments received. Winners were recognized in a Frankfurt celebration hosted by the Child Support Enforcement Program. Rowan County tackles an average of 1,100 cases a year, and the statistics only show improvements from there. Since 2000, collections have increased every year, and paternity rates have risen about 40%. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Another change order has been issued in connection with the building of Rowan County's new 270-bed detention center. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county will have to spend just over $13,000 to take care of a landscaping issue.
On the end of the property on Triplett Avenue, or Triplett Street, I guess it is, down by the creek side of it, not in the creek, but or not even that close to the creek, but that end of the building, there was a piece of property that was supposed to have a wall, and it looked like it's going to be better to just re-landscape it a little better.
Blevins says the construction crew on site will handle the issue. He notes that of the $935,000 Rowan County initially set aside for potential change orders before starting the jail project, it still has about $735,000 on hand. The county's new $18 million facility is scheduled to open early next year.
The House Adoption Work Group is making an effort to streamline adoption and foster care in Kentucky. The group seeks to make broad legislative recommendations to House Speaker Jeff Hoover to change those processes. Democratic Representative Joni Jenkins co-chairs the group. She told Spectrum News the panel would like to shorten the amount of time it takes for a child to move through the adoption process.
Is it possible to start that process a little bit earlier to get it moving faster so a child does not stay any longer in state custody than they have to? So we've talked about, you know, at 3 months, if no work has started on the, if the parents haven't started working their plan after a certain amount of time, if it's 3 months or 6 months, but not waiting to 15 months.
There are currently more than 8,000 kids in Kentucky in out-of-home care.
A group of health, business, and community leaders are launching the Coalition for a Smoke-Free Tomorrow. KNN's Suzanne Duvall reports.
The statewide alliance will support state and local policy changes to reduce tobacco use and protect Kentuckians from secondhand smoke.
Number one, we want to raise the cigarette tax here in Kentucky by at least a dollar or more.
Ben Chandler is director of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky.
Number two, we want to try to pass smoke-free laws throughout the state in local jurisdictions.
Illnesses related to tobacco use cost Kentucky nearly 9,000 lives and $1.92 billion in health care expenditures every year. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Think Pink events throughout October are reminding Kentuckians about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Along with about 250,000 women, about 2,500 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer in the U.S. this year. Lynn Erdman with the Association of Women's Health, Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses encourages both women and men to be aware of changes in their bodies.
It may be changes in skin coloring, it could be a dimpling, it could be a lump that forms, it could be a number of different changes. Then it's important to have a follow-up to see what are the next steps for determining whether you have a problem.
Erdman says both women and men should be screened for breast cancer if they suspect a problem, and mammograms are standard imaging resource. The risk of breast cancer among women increases with age, and Erdman encourages them to determine whether screening annually or every other year are what's best.
The Lexington Fayette County Health Department is offering free Narcan kits. The department is partnering with the Kentucky Injury Prevention and Research Center to help reverse opioid overdoses. Dr. Craig Humboldt spoke with WKYT.
If given soon enough after an overdose, naloxone can be a life-saving antidote to overdoses from drugs like heroin, fentanyl, oxycodone.
The kits are available at the health department every Friday to participants of the Needle Exchange Program.
The long-anticipated groundbreaking for the new Raceland Worthington Middle School has happened. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Monday's groundbreaking marks the start of construction on the $16 million school, which will be located behind and adjacent to Raceland Worthington High School and the John P. Stevens Cultural Arts Center. The new school will provide top-quality educational facilities in a prime location. Placement of the school enables students to more easily go to the high school and the arts center for elective classes, which will save money because rooms for those functions don't have to be included in the new building. The project includes a new track, repaving of roadways and parking lots, a sidewalk extension, a maintenance garage, fencing around campus, tennis courts, and lights for the alternate athletic field. The new middle school's construction will reportedly take about 19 months. For WMKY News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A Murray State graduate who works in Louisville as a nurse is competing on this season's Survivor on CBS. Jessica Johnston graduated from the university in 2009 and is now an acute care nurse practitioner at Norton Hospital in Louisville. A release from Murray State says Johnston likes to seek adventure, so it was an easy decision to audition for the long-running reality competition show. The winner receives a prize of $1 million.
Taking a look at the weather for the week. Tonight, clear with a low around 44. Thursday, sunny with a high near 71. Thursday night, much like tonight, with clear skies and a low around 44. Friday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 75. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 49. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 51. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Taking a look at the current temperatures, 72 degrees in Ashland and Inez, 71 degrees here in Moorhead, 70 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and Flemingsburg.
4:45 here on the campus of Moorhead State University, and it is the third day of our fall fundraiser and membership drive. And in place of our usual feature segment this afternoon, we'll hear words from WMKY's own Greg Jenkins and Moorhead State Public Radio alum David Patrick.
Greg Jenkins with you. It's our fall fundraiser and membership drive here at 90.3 FM. Mountain Edition going on right now. And if you want to make a pledge of support, we'd love to hear from you at 783-2001 or online at wmky.org. Again, Greg Jenkins with alum David Patrick, one of the longtime supporters of Moorhead State Public Radio. And we're just taking a few minutes out of Mountain Edition to talk to listeners about making a pledge.
Making a pledge, Greg, so important. As you said, I'm an alum of Moorhead State Public Radio. And I know what it did for my life, what it's done for my career. It made a huge difference in my experience here at Moorhead State University because this is the real world. This is not a classroom. This is the real world. This is on-the-site training. And the experience that I received here really set me up for my career. And I'll tell you, Greg, it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, getting that real-world experience that you take from the classroom from Moorhead State University into WMKY, Moorhead State Public Radio, and being live on the air, doing that drive time, newscast, sportscast, feature writing that goes out to real people. It makes all the difference.
It was amazing because I was a scared-to-death 17-year-old country boy from Morgan County, from West Liberty, Kentucky, and I walked in here knowing what I wanted to do, and I was excited. I had a dream. I had a passion. I wanted to work in radio. I wanted to work in television. And I had a dream in my heart, but I needed some guidance. I needed some training. I needed someone to show me the ropes. And Paul Hitchcock was the first person to do that. When I first arrived, Paul was a graduate assistant. Mm-hmm. And then Chuck Meraz came in right after. I always joke with people. I tell him, you know how old I am because I was actually at MSPR before Chuck Meraz, and that dates way back.
Right.
But Chuck came in and gave me a real dose of hard reality, and which was great because I was very undisciplined. I was very immature. But working at the radio station with Paul and Chuck and Larry Netherton helped me grow up a lot. I mean, it really showed me how to be responsible, how to be accountable to other people. And the experience that I got here, Greg, I still carry it with me every single day. I mean, I spent 13 years working at WKYT, Channel 27 in Lexington. And that experience, even though radio and TV, somewhat different, mm-hmm, but still, mm-hmm, it's the same because you have deadlines, you have stories, you have assignments, responsibilities. And the training that I got here is the reason I was able to be a success in the Lexington media. And I've never forgot that. And it's so important for people to invest in this radio station because the investment you make is making a real difference. I see the students every day that come in here to work. I've watched the students over the past years, you know, the Tanner Hesterbergs, the Mackenzie Bates, and Leanne Tanners, and on down the line. These students learned, again, the real world here. And that's what makes this place so special.
If you appreciate that and want to help us out with our fall fundraiser and membership drive, join with me, Greg Jenkins, and David Patrick. Make a pledge right now at 783-2001, 606-783-2001, or visit us online at wmky.org. David, thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg, for making a difference in the lives of the students and also for what you do for the airwaves. I mean, the news source and the entertainment source that MSPR is makes a difference every day.
4:50, I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Logan Pemberton, and we're glad you tuned in on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up right after a quick timeout.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bradley, a nurse at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate registered nurses to join our team. We continually support and encourage our nurses to grow professionally. We have new RN rates and benefits packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website at st-clair.org.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. Braxton Howard, the Morehead State men's basketball team has added a special exhibition game to its schedule for the upcoming season. The Eagles will make a trip to Lexington to take on the University of Kentucky in Rupp Arena on October the 30th, with proceeds from the game going to hurricane relief efforts. The game, however, will not be televised due to the amount of exhibition games the NCAA allows to be shown on television. Ticket information for the contest will be announced at a later date. Media predictions for the upcoming SEC basketball season were announced earlier today at SEC Media Day. Kentucky has been selected as the favorites to win the conference, with Florida, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Missouri rounding out the top five. Kentucky freshman Hamidou Diallo was named to the preseason All-SEC first team, with freshman teammate Kevin Knox being tabbed to the second team. Yonte Maton of Georgia, Missouri's Michael Porter Jr., and Robert Williams of Texas A&M all tied in the voting for preseason player of the year. Former Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino is now suing Adidas. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
Rick Pitino filed the federal lawsuit Tuesday against Adidas, claiming damages to his reputation caused by the apparel company's improper dealings with recruits. The lawsuit alleges that Adidas employees' outrageous conduct to funnel money to the family of a recruit without his knowledge caused grave damage to his public and private standing and reputation, causing him extreme embarrassment, humiliation, and emotional distress. A spokesperson for Adidas said in a statement, "Mr. Pitino's lawsuit is clearly a reaction to his termination yesterday and is without merit." Pitino and his lawyer, former Kentucky Lieutenant Governor Steve Pence, tells ESPN the lawsuit seeks unspecified actual damages, punitive damages, and attorney's fees. Louisville interim president Greg Postal told reporters last week he expects Pitino to sue UofL as well. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
More Major League Baseball playoff action is on tap for tonight. After getting a win last night, the Yankees welcome Houston back into Yankee Stadium with the ALCS tied at two games apiece. New York manager Joe Girardi hopes getting the win last night will give his guys the confidence to face Astro starter Dallas Keuchel this evening, who threw seven innings of scoreless baseball in Game 1 of the series.
I hope so. We haven't really done a whole lot off of him in the starts that we've seen him, so hopefully seeing him twice in one series, our guys are able to adjust a little bit quicker.
First pitch for that game is set for a little after 5. In the second game of the night, the LA Dodgers will look to sweep the Cubs in Chicago. Alex Wood will take the mound for the Dodgers. Jake Arrieta goes for the Cubs. First pitch for that one is set for 9:01, not a second earlier. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire continues to evaluate his team as fall practices continue. McGuire has the Eagles playing a lot of inter-squad games and has been experimenting with his roster.
You know, you may see, you know, three infielders on one team all filling in at third base for the other team. Just you may see some guys, you know, playing some different positions just so you can look at other combinations and flexibility that you have that will make you better in the spring when, you know, should you sustain an injury or a guy slump or whatever.
The MSU baseball team's fall practices are expected to run for a couple more weeks. The Morehead State football Eagles are looking forward to hosting PFL rival Stetson Saturday for homecoming. Senior quarterback Jack Sherry says the Eagles are optimistic about their chances of winning the contest, despite their three-game losing streak, which includes a 56-27 defeat last week at San Diego.
I think that we understand that we did do a good job, you know, fighting back in the second half, regardless of whether or not we were going to get to victory this past week. And we know that, you know, we're backs against the wall now. We're 2-5, 1-3 in the conference, and if we win the next four games, we can come out with a winning record, which has only been done once since I've been in Morehead. So it's a big thing for us, it's a goal that we're trying to set for ourselves.
Saturday's game kicks off at Jane Stadium at 1 p.m. Despite a 2-7 record, the Round County football team will have a lot at stake on Friday when it entertains East Carter. The winner of the game will earn their Class 4A district's final playoff berth. And Round coach Kelly Ford says that's a huge game for his young Vikings.
Absolutely. It's a big showdown for us, battling for the fourth spot on our side in the district with East Carter, and it's at our place. And, you know, our kids are there. I mean, they're hungry. They're already talking about it. You know, so we'll see what we can do to try to help our program move forward.
Much improved East Carter is 4-4 overall this season. Finally in sports, the Round County girls soccer team is looking forward to playing for the championship of the 16th region tournament against host Russell tomorrow night. The Lady Vikings punched their ticket to the title contest last night with a 2-0 win against Boyd County. Coach Alan Evans says a slight tweak in his game plan proved critical for the Lady Vikings.
We just modified our defense a little bit to deal with their very aggressive physical style of game. I possessed them. I had more corners, more shots, and then got enough goals to move on to advance. So proud of the girls.
The Round boys unfortunately saw their season end with a 2-1 loss at East Carter in the semifinal action of the 16th Region Tournament last night in Grayson. Some breaking news here to end the cast. The University of Louisville's Board of Trustees has voted to fire Athletic Director Tom Jurich. Jurich had been on paid administrative leave for the past several weeks following the FBI's report that Adidas had given a recruit $100,000 to attend U of L. So that report has now led to the firing of both Rick Pitino and Tom Jurich. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State University welcomes friends and alumni for homecoming weekend. Soccer hosts Belmont at 6 p.m. on Friday, and football faces Stetson at 1 p.m. on Saturday. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average rose, setting an all-time high and also finishing above the 23,000 level for the first time. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a gain of 160.16 at 23,157.6. The S&P 500 was up 1.9 at 2561.26, and the S&P 500 also set an all-time record closing high today. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 0.56 at 6624.22. As mentioned, the market has been certainly very strong lately, and of course the earnings season is really contributing to this strength. So far, 81% of companies that have reported earnings have beaten on the bottom line, while 73% have topped sales estimates, according to Thomson Reuters. Bank stocks are strong today, with a Spider S&P Bank exchange-traded fund advancing 0.7%. Shares of Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan were up 2.5% and 0.4%, respectively. IBM posted adjusted earnings per share of $3.30 on revenue of $19.15 billion after yesterday's close, and this beat expectations, and the stock was up 9% today and certainly had the biggest impact on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, since IBM is a very large component of the Dow Average. Northern Trust also posted quarterly results, which beat top and bottom line estimates. The bank stock rose 3.8% and was among the best performers in the S&P 500. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.2% at $51.99 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,282.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were mostly higher, with the Shanghai up 0.3% and the Nikkei up just over 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were IBM and Goldman Sachs. The worst performers were Chevron and Pfizer. In the S&P 500, the best performers were, again, IBM and Assurant, and the worst performers were Allergan and Chipotle. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 58 cents at 66.02, CSX down 55 cents at 53.68, AEP down 17 cents at 73.03, AK Steel up 29 cents at 5.95, Marathon Petroleum up 24 cents at 56.75, and U.S. Bancorp was down 59 cents to finish at 53.29. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Greg Jenkins, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Cody Robinson, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. With the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall and Will Clark. And with our feature commentary today, WMKY's Greg Jenkins and MSPR alum David Patrick. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg, WMKY News.